And I think it's good news that we can journey in life together. And even when things look terrible and life sucks and there's a struggle, we're in this together. I think there's some good news in that. I've been struggling with this too. So on your tables, you have these big packets. And I've been working really hard on those things. I've joked about how I've had nothing to do because I had the surgery and I was sick most of the summer, and then I had surgery and then I couldn't do anything. So like, I've had nothing to do but think about what it looks like for a fully engaged person to be a part of the church and walk through life together, fully engaged in the church. And there's a, look at that beautiful package. Like, I've got it all there for you. But here's what I'm struggling with is if you would choose to do something along this, is this because you're feeling like the pastor of the church or the church is saying you should do these things? Because I don't think it's good news when we say you should do this in order to be something like this. That's not good news to me. But what is good news is that you can do this. You could do these things. That there are ways that you can improve not only your standing with your fellow believers, or not even that, that's a weird way to put that, but like your journey together, you can improve that. But you can improve your life. You can actually take steps. You can be 3 years clean if you want to, if you really want to. God can do that for you. He can break the chains, but there's some of the things that are in this packet that I've given you that can actually help you do some of those things. We can help you, and it's good news to know that you don't have to do the things that are in there. You don't have to. And maybe even you shouldn't do some of them if you're going to do it from a motivation of guilt or some kind of emotional thing where it's like, oh man, Dave wants me to do all this stuff. God, I do. I'll be honest with you. I want you to, but only because you're motivated by love with it, or because you want to do things that you can do to put yourself in a position to grow more like Jesus. That's the only thing we're trying to do here. That's it. So the good news in it isn't that we have all this stuff for you to do that you feel guilty to do it. That's not good news. But the good news is that you can. That God has given you resources to be able to help you grow. And some of those resources are in this community that you look around right now, where we can be in it together. I have a long sermon prepared, and I've shortchanged most of it already. So here's what I want to do. I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, look in that little folder thing where that you've got there. Flip to the title that says Serving Diligently. And what I would like us to look at is what it means to serve diligently, not out of compulsion, not out of Dave saying this is something you ought to do. This is like, here's opportunities for you to show reckless love to your community, and here's some of the background ideas behind it. Abby, I'm not sure who's up. Is it Abby or Sarah? Whoever you are, I can't see. I'm sorry. We're going to go to slide number 8. Slide 8. Serving diligently comes from Matthew 20, verses 27 through 28. He says, Jesus is saying this, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I think like that should be the life verse for every believer. You know, we come here to serve, not to be served. And too many times, like folks in the church, especially when you get like, oh, I'm a member of this church, I've come here to be served. You know, you serve me. And quite frankly, pastors can become that way too. Hey, I get the prime parking spot. You know, oh my gosh, I didn't move my truck today. I parked right out front. I just said that. I always park in the back. But I had so much to carry in. I parked close. I forgot to Move the truck. Oops, somebody want to move that for me? I can't believe I used that as an example today of all days. But you see, like, we get this idea, like, we get to be served because we're a part of this thing. No, our whole point is to serve. Jesus himself washed feet. We don't like to wash feet. Like, feet are disgusting. Okay, in that culture, it was the lowest person's job to do that service, you know. And Jesus did that for us. And his example is that we should serve as well. It's plain and simple. We serve because Jesus served. And Jesus served because he loved. So love is a motivation. It requires the believer to set aside one's own priorities, our own rights, our demands that we have for the sake of others. Recognizing opportunities to respond to God's love by giving back both within the body of Christ and outside the church body. So let's talk about a couple of these things. A fully engaged person sees needs inside the church and outside the church body and seeks to fill them. Now, I don't like to use the word inside the church and outside the church. I feel like it's exclusive language. Like, we're inside and everybody else is outside, including some other churches, you know? you're not part of us, so you must be a them. And so I don't care for that us versus them language. Especially when we say, like, we, this church, we're so good, we're going to come in on a white horse and we're going to save the whole city. Well, that's baloney. It's actually garbage theology because we can't save anybody. It is garbage polity, too, practice, because most of the time, church people look just like everybody outside the church anyway. I mean, we're not that much different in terms of practice most of the time. But there's something to thinking through the biblical commands in regards to how believers should treat one another, which is the word we use that is used in the Bible, and how believers should treat people who are not yet part of the body of Christ. So there is, in that sense, an us, one another, and a them, those who aren't yet involved. In fact, Jesus said, it's the verse we've used about reckless love, they will know you are my disciples by how you love one another. All right? Jesus sets a clear distinction. They is everybody who's not in this one another bit. All right? There's this one another bit who's the disciples, and then there's everybody else who are not yet part of that. And they will know you are disciples by how you love one another. Does that make sense? So Jesus uses the language, so I guess it's safe to use. I just don't have to like it. You know, so one another is the key signifier. You see this word over and over in scriptures. One another is two words in English, but it's only one word in Greek, and the Greek word is alelon. And it's used 100 times in 94 different New Testament verses. 47 of those verses are specific to the church. So almost half of them are how you treat one another within the body of Christ. 60% of those came from Paul. 33% of the time, one another is talking about unity within the body of Christ. So, like, have one mind, you know, that sort of thing, having one focus. Another 33%, one another is about love, devoting oneself to one another, tolerating one another, even some sense of serving one another. There's another way at 15% is about humility, that kind of serving one another, washing one another's feet, bearing one another's burdens. And then there's another 19% that's a hodgepodge of instructions about speaking the truth, about spouses not depriving one another of sex, greeting one another with kisses, you know, all the commands we choose not to follow. That was a joke. We have to serve one another. If you're going to be a fully engaged person, there's stuff you just got to do within the body of Christ, within the one another part of the community. That leads us to the next one. The fully engaged person, serving diligently, will commit to an area of the church to give time and talent. You'll look around the church like, here's how I can get involved. That's the one anotherness of our faith, to build each other up, to help us grow in the body of Christ. There's things that are necessary for the church to just function and just have service, you know, have things that we do. Just for things to get done. There's things on Sunday morning that have to happen, various ministries to go. It just takes people to get things done, right? Like if we want to have a program, a thing that we do, it takes people to do them. Amen? Like you just got to have people to do it. So we are trying to be fully engaged, which means a relationship with one another, and we're activated on mission together. We've talked about that many times. We're fully engaged in relationship, on mission together, activated. I like the visual of a family. A family working together to make sure that the family operates and moves forward together towards, you know, whatever their destination is. Like, I don't know that we always have family goals, but within each family, everybody has roles and responsibilities. There's things that take to make the household operate. I'll take my family for instance. There's me, there's Bethany, there's Abby, there's Sarah, two kids, mom and a dad. And each of us, we each have like our responsibilities and goals in life, the things that we want to do in life. We have our I don't know. I guess goals is probably the best thing. Things we want to accomplish. And every member of the family wants the other members of the family to succeed. Like that's a healthy family. We want the other members to do well and get along well in life. But just because one family member has one thing that they really, really want to do does not mean that they don't have other responsibilities and chores around the house that just kind of need to be done. Because the vacuum still needs to be run, the trash still needs to be taken out, the dishes still need to be done, the cooking still, you know what I'm saying? Occasionally that toilet just needs cleaned. Like, plain and simple, guys, clean the toilet, you know? It just has to be done. It may not be fun, it may not contribute to the goal that you want to achieve or accomplish over here, but I need to do this because I'm a member of the family. And this is what the household needs right now. So the reason we do it, the things that we have to do, isn't because we have to necessarily or because it won't happen without you. But we do it because we love the family. And we want this family to succeed and go well together. Just because we love our church, because we love Jesus, because we want to see the best things happen through our church, we have to do certain things around the church just because that's what the church needs. And I love my church, so this is what I'm going to do right now. Reckless love should drive our passion to serve one another. A fully engaged person will commit to doing something within the body of Christ, whether that be an active role in an ongoing ministry, maybe starting your own ministry, or doing things just to help people within the church as you see need. All right, here's the other side of that coin, all right? So we have things that we got to do inside the church. There's things maybe outside. I put it this way. A fully engaged person looks to help grow a kingdom and not just a platform. Seems like church culture these days likes to brag about how much like Jesus they are. You know the one person who didn't brag about how much he was like Jesus? Jesus. He didn't brag about it. He just went and did it. He just humbly went and helped people who weren't a part of his group, right? He had his little group, but then he'd go outside to the marginalized people, and maybe they would join the group or not, but either way, he didn't care. Hey, he cared, but he's like, I'm just going to help you anyway. The point is about helping people who aren't yet part of the church and maybe not yet even experiencing the love of Jesus Christ just yet. But did you know there's way more verses about helping people within the church, one another, than there is about helping people outside the church? The Apostle Paul almost never talks about helping people outside the church. His is always, almost always inside the church. In fact, the one verse I did find where he was talking about helping outside, listen to it, it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. And then he says, especially those of the household of faith. But our example is Jesus. And the Gospels are full of examples of Jesus going out beyond the sphere of his people to grow the kingdom. Now, not everybody's stuck, but he was always there to serve those who were most in need, especially those who were on the margins of society, those who were outside those circles. The Gospels have tons of great examples of Jesus going to the least, the last, and the lost to restore them to their rightful place in the kingdom. That's what we're meant to do when we go beyond the four walls of the church. Jesus is our example of going beyond. There's so many people who post their performance on social media. Like, look what I did, little humble brag. Like, I served my community today. And probably that's not the worst thing in the world. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not bad. But what if we just made a difference in someone's life without bragging about it? Just going and doing it. I struggle with this, to be honest with you. I struggle with this personally and for the church because I was trained up. Like, if you're going to plant a church, you got to market, market, market. And to market, you tell everybody what you're doing, all the good things that your church is doing. Then I'm like, after a while of that, I was like, this is kind of playing on the people that we're meant to serve. And we're using them as our platform. So I started thinking about, like, how can we show the good things that God's doing through us in a social kind of way so it's visible, but also point directly to Jesus' platform? Because it isn't our platform that should grow. It's God's platform. And I do that personally as well. Like, I don't want to brag about the things. You know, social media, you put all the good things out there. You don't put your junk out there. You put your good things out there. And I think, man, I got to find a way so that my platform isn't increased. In fact, this is a pressure I feel as a pastor. You gotta increase your platform, man. I hear that from people. Like, they'll literally say, you've got good things to say. You got to put it out there so people would see it. I'm like, I don't know. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, so Jesus must increase. And so I have this inner battle. I'm just being confessional to you. I struggle with it. And I don't always follow, like, walk that line well. Sometimes I probably put something that points to me. But I'm trying now not to post anything that looks ministry braggy. I'll brag on my kids. Don't worry about that. I bragged on them. Yesterday's National Daughter's Day yesterday. Who knew that was a thing? See, everybody posting. I'm like, I'm missing out. I got to post. Anyway, I'll brag on the kids, but I need to find a way to point to Jesus and increase his platform and not my platform. We're meant to serve one another within the body of Christ and expand the kingdom of God outside the church walls while increasing Jesus' platform and reducing our own. It's really a delicate line. It's hard to do. But it's something that the fully engaged believer will commit to at least attempt and work towards. All right, so one more. A fully engaged person exercises their gifts for ministry. Just go and do. Last week we talked about discover and develop your gift. Now we're talking about exercise it. Discover, develop, go and do. Go and exercise it. Get it done. Get involved. Get off the sidelines. Put yourself in the game. If you don't know what your gifts are, we've got tools to help you find that. But sometimes it just means jumping in and trying. Let me see if this works. If it doesn't work, try something else. That's okay. I've failed at a lot of stuff. It's like, well, that didn't work. Then about 3 days later, I'll go run into another wall. Try something else. And I'll figure it out. I'll keep going. Jump into some kind of serving inside and outside the church. And I'm telling you, you're going to watch your world, your family, your household, your money, all of that's going to turn upside down because you'll start to have a new perspective on life. All right, so let me run them down for you. Here's the four things. A fully engaged person who serves diligently, sees needs inside and outside the church body, and seeks to fill them. Commits to an area of the church to give time and talent. Looks to help grow a kingdom and not just a platform, and exercises their gifts for ministry. And you might be saying, that sounds great, Dave. I want to get started, but I don't know where and I don't know how. Well, lucky for you, it's all written there in your sheet. I've given you a document of those things. So I'm so glad that you've asked, how can I serve? Because there's things. So I'm just going to quickly go through a couple of them. Little Arrows Play Cafe, staffed by all volunteers. Christina's over there. She's our first hire. She's coordinating all the volunteers. And God bless her. She's got it fully staffed right now. But that doesn't mean that there's no place for you. Because there's other things. Well, yeah, we'll find something for you to do. But here's the thing. Maybe it's fully staffed if everybody works at, one or two shifts a week. One shift a week right now. But sometimes people like to go every other week, you know? And maybe there's ways to do that, okay? Or people get sick or whatever. Anyway, there might be a place for you. Here's another thing. After parties on the weekend, we host birthday parties. There's one today. And so we have a small crew of people who will open those parties and then clean up after those parties. And the person who does that is a glorious saint of the church. Donnie's got it today. Glorious saint of the church. But doing that means you've just given $150 to Little Arrows Play Cafe. And it didn't cost you anything but a little bit of time cleaning. Okay, because that's what we get. It's a primary fundraiser for Little Arrows. We need people to clean after parties. That's one thing. Here's another one, children's ministry. Michelle runs the children's ministry. She's been calling around. Here's the thing. Ever since we opened back up at the pandemic, we've had three adults and a couple of high school students running the entire children's ministry for over a year now. And to be honest with you, they're tired. Okay, now, but they don't want to quit. They just want help. So she's been making some phone calls to see if we can get some more people on board. Now, our children's ministry is growing. I talked to you about an opportunity to maybe give a little bit more money so we can expand to the yoga studio and multiply our children's ministry. We can't do that unless we have people helping. Now, I hate to say or make the analogy of we're family and you might have goals and things that you want to do, and yet there's chores around the family house that need to be done, like taking out the garbage. Children's ministry is not taking out the garbage. Unless. But we want to expand that ministry, and really, it would take six adults and high school students every week to do what we wanted to do well, to do it safely, to do it properly, and then to make it so everybody could do it once a month. Think how many people that would take. All right, that's 24. All right, there's things that we need help with. Do the math on that. We need help. Student ministries, we talked about the retreat coming up. Mariah, I think it has that mostly covered, but I was just thinking about this, Mariah. What if somebody in our congregation said, you know what, we want to feed you guys that night. We're going to donate all the food. We'll have it prepped for you and ready to go. Would you take that help? She would take that help. Yeah, I mean, what a great way to serve our church and people from outside the church who are coming in for that. Beyond that, she's been mentoring people, like meeting with them one-on-one. I talked about microgroups last week. She's been doing that all summer long and actually throughout the pandemic. So like having a microgroup of young students would be awesome to do that. You know, teenagers aren't aliens. They really aren't. I mean, they kind of sound like it sometimes, but they aren't. Like, once you get over the mumbling, I have some. If you treat them like humans, they treat you back like humans, and they're fun. They're great people. Hospitality team. Charity has been running the hospitality team. Like, all of our teams had great people, and teams were full right before the pandemic, and then, bam, we've lost so many people to the pandemic. But she had all these people doing, like, greeters at the door, greeters at the top of the steps. Every week there's a different crew running the food. Now, Charity's basically been doing it on her own since we reopened, except for days when she's not here, like today. She got Mariah to do it. So we need people to do those kinds of things. Just come about 30, 40 minutes early, set up the coffee, and do that kind of thing. Set up signs. Danya has been setting up signs for like 3 years, her and Dirk working together. And she wasn't here last week, neither was Dirk, no signs. So talk to Danya. Like, I could come half an hour early, set up some signs, and take them down after worship is over with. Worship media. I'm still not sure which one of my children is up there. Oh, it's Sarah. Okay. Sarah's pushing buttons. She's great at pushing buttons. She's so good at it. And you are too. But all you got to do is which arrow do you hit to get the slide over, Sarah? Is it the right arrow? It's a space bar. You can do it with a space bar. That's the biggest one. It's not hard. But if my family goes on vacation and there's nobody left? We had one retire. Remember Ben? He went to school, so he retired. Now it's just down to my kids. Sometimes my sister can help. We just need somebody to push buttons, and all of you do that well. Live stream. Brian Snow and Diana Kozlowski, they've got it down to a science. They could train a monkey to do it, right? They're on 10-second delay. They haven't heard it yet. Oh, Mike says Diana is a monkey. That is not nice. And when Bob comes back, you're in trouble, Mike. But look, like, what if they're gone? On the same day, we don't have anybody to run our live stream. That one's pretty technical, I'll be honest with you. And we've been through a lot, but they have it down now. They're doing very well with it. Sound and setup, Mike Higman, Bob Kozlowski, Justin, they've been doing it forever. Look, all this stuff needs help, getting all this stuff set up. Setting up the tables and chairs. Sarah's been doing it for a couple years by herself now, basically. Nowadays, it's not hard. We use whatever they set up the night before. We put our tablecloths on. But there's going to be a change at some point where we're going to have to start taking the tables down and doing it. So all that stuff's going to change when the ballroom changes their schedule. All right, those are the things within the church that I can think of that I just thought up off the top of my head. What? Oh, musicians, I have it in here, actually. Right? Don't I have it in there? You're not following along, Carrie. Music, honestly, probably requires the most skill. You know, like, you need to practice. You know, you need to have some background on that. Like, I've been playing piano for 35 years or 38 years. Okay, I mean, you don't have to be there that long. But I'm just saying that there's background work behind that one. But you can audition, and we'd love you to be part of that crew. Singers, musicians, yeah, all that. We're not a closed group, Reggie. All right, so that's the in-house. Let me just wrap it up quick with the things that are outside. Sean Lennon runs a group called Faith in Action. Raise your hand there, Sean. Sean runs Faith in Action, provide mentoring for people in recovery, in re-entry, people who find themselves without a home, without jobs. He helps people get back into society, and he does it from a faith-based kind of way. And he's mentoring people. And people have gotten baptized because of his ministry, and it's wonderful. I'm sure if he had more people these days, it's hard with COVID, he could use more mentors to help out. Love the 43055. Every now and then we do a big push for projects in the area that need help. We've landscaped the main place. We clean the courthouse every spring. Blitz the first responders with cookies and pizza. We've painted over graffiti over those overpasses on 16, all those overpasses. Our egg hunt is kind of a love the 43055 thing. Next month, we don't have the dates yet, but Together We Grow, which is the Community Gardens nonprofit, they need help with people coming in just to clean up from the summer and get the gardens ready for winter. So we're going to coordinate with More Life Church for a date that we can all just go blitz the Together We Grow gardens. And they actually have like a 15-acre orchard. Like, go out there. Like, you've seen it? Yeah, that's cool. I want to get over there. It sounds really cool over there. They need some help building picnic tables, things like that. We'll just take Saturday or Sunday afternoon after church, and we'll just go and do those things. Student mission trip. Mariah's leading a student mission trip next summer. So if you'd like to go, I think she's taking adults and students, right? Going to Southern California. Yeah, so that's great right there. Vertical 196. Excuse me, they serve meals to homeless people and people who have need every day. And if you want to just go, I think 10 to 1 is their shift. There's some training involved. Hey, Solomon knows all about it. Solomon, do you want to say anything about it? Come help.
I would like to say something positive that we witnessed in the community yesterday. 5K run or the Strive for Vertical.
Oh.
90 people registered.
Cool.
And that was for the homeless community and Libby County.
Nice. Right? I didn't even know about it. Yeah, that's good news.
And it's the same time next year.
So sign up today. Okay, same Saturday, last Saturday of September, whatever you're doing, run a 5K for Vertical 196. But also serve meals throughout the year if you want to be a part of that. All right, I know that's boring, all right? But it's just a snippet of the things that you can do inside and outside the church. It's not the full picture. I think, hopefully it says in the bottom of them, what's your dream? What's your dream that you can do to serve? To be a part of the community, to help somebody out. We want to unlock those dreams too and help you become the fully engaged person that you are designed and destined to be. Now, here's what I want you to do if you're in person here. I'd like you to take the pamphlet home and the loose sheet. Take it home. I want you to think through it. I'd like you to read it. Memorize the darn thing. No, I'm just kidding. But have it be a part of who you are. Look through those things. Are there things that capture you that you think, this is what God's leading me to do in this particular area? And then maybe mark it down on the loose sheet. Here's the thing that I want to do. And next Sunday you bring the loose sheet back and you put it to God. You're going to lay it at the altar. We're going to have a table here. We're going to take communion together. Communion will be your sign. Like, this is the covenant that I'm making. And these are the ways that I'm going to be a fully engaged disciple of Jesus Christ with Engage Newark Church. That's really it. Now, you can keep the pamphlet marked down where you're doing so you have it as a reminder, but I guarantee you, if you submit the paper, I'll be calling. I will. I'll hold you accountable because we're going to recruit you for the things that you said you were being led to do. Okay, do you have an understanding of what we're doing and how we're going to get there next week? All right. So we want you to take those things. We want it to be part of who you are. Let's take a moment to pray. We're going to close with a song. God, we ask that you stir in our hearts these ways that we can be a part of your community of faith here in Engage and be a part of your community and a broader community throughout the world. Help us to build a kingdom. Help us not to worry about our own platforms, but build your kingdom here on earth, and if it be your will, you grow a church out of it. But Lord, most of all, help us to be fully engaged disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.